Good evening. Midweek number 5. Tonight we're reminded of the fact that it does not matter. It's not what we do or what we give up that matters, but rather what God gave up for us, His one and only Son. So tonight, as we hear the word of our Lord, we ask ourselves this question. Does that distinction really matter? And our Lord says it does. We continue with the invocation. O Lord, open my lips.
And my mouth shall declare your praises.
Hasten to save me, O God.
O Lord, come quickly to help.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Thank you.
We have come into the presence of God, who created us to love and serve him as his dear children, but we have disobeyed him and deserve only his wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to him and plead for his mercy.
Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt.
God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, he has removed your guilt forever. You are his own dear child. May God give you strength to live according to his will. Lord God, you have brought us safely to this hour of evening worship. We thank you for providing all that we need for body and life. Bless us who have gathered in your name. Forgive our sins, speak to our hearts, dispel our sorrows with the comfort of your word, and receive our hymns of thanks and praise.
Through Jesus Christ, our living Savior, who reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
We continue with the passion history of our Lord Jesus Christ, tonight focused on Jesus before Pilate. Very early in the morning at daybreak, the chief priests with the elders, the teachers of the law, and the whole Sanhedrin met together, and Jesus was led before them.
If you are the Christ, they said, tell us.
He answered, if I tell you, you will not believe me, and if I ask you, you would not answer. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the Lord God.
They all asked, are you then the Son of God?
He replied, you are right in saying I am.
Then he said, why do we need any more testimony? We have heard it from his own lips.
The whole assembly rose. They bound Jesus and led him from Caiaphas to the palace of the Roman governor, and handed him over to Pontius Pilate, the governor. When Judas, who betrayed him, saw that Jesus was condemned, he was seized with remorse and returned the 30 silver coins to the chief priests and the elders.
I have sinned, he said, for I have betrayed innocent blood.
What is that to us, they replied? That's your responsibility.
So Judas threw the money into the temple and left. Then he went away and hanged himself. The chief priest picked up the coins and said,
"It is against the law to put this into the treasury, since it is blood money." So they decided to use the money to buy the potter's field as a burial place for foreigners. That is why it has been called the Field of the Blood to this day.
Then what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet was fulfilled. They took the 30 silver coins, the price set on him by the people of Israel, and they used them to buy the potter's field, as the Lord commanded me. By now it was early morning, and to avoid ceremonial uncleanness, the Jews did not enter the palace. They wanted to be able to eat the Passover.
So I came out to them and asked, "What charges are you bringing against this man? If he were not a criminal,
happened so that the words Jesus had spoken indicating the kind of death he was going to die would be fulfilled.
Then the chief priests and elders began to accuse him, saying, "We have found this man subverting our nation. He opposes payment of taxes to Caesar and claims to be Christ, a king."
Pilate then went back inside the palace and summoned Jesus. Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?"
"Is that your idea?" Jesus asked. "Or did others talk to you about me?"
"Do you think I am a Jew, my father? It was your people and your chief priests who handed you over to me. What is it you have done?"
Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom is from another place."
"You are a king then," says the Pilate.
Jesus answered, "You are right in saying I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me."
"What is truth?" Pilate asked. With this we went out to the Jews and announced to the chief priests and the crowd, "I find no basis for a charge."
The chief priests and elders accused Jesus of many things.
Pilate asked him, "Don't you hear how many things they are accusing you of?"
Jesus gave no answer.
So again, Pilate asked him, "Aren't you going to answer?"
But Jesus made no reply, not even to a single charge, to the great amazement of the governor.
The chief priests and elders insisted, "He stirs up the people all over Judea by his teaching. He started in Galilee and has come all the way here."
On hearing this, Pilate asked if the man was a Galilean. When he learned that Jesus was under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was also in Jerusalem at that time.
Herod saw Jesus, he was greatly pleased, because for a long time he had been wanting to see him perform some miracle. He plied him with many questions, but Jesus gave him no answer. The chief priests and the teachers of the law were standing there, vehemently accusing him. Then Herod and his soldiers ridiculed and mocked him. Dressing him in an elegant robe, they sent him back to Pilate. That day, Herod and Pilate became friends. Before this, they had been enemies. Here ends our passion reading. Lord, have mercy on us.
And give us your peace.
God's grace, mercy, and peace remain ours in great abundance, and that is all evident in the gift of his one and only Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Why? Why had there be a sacrifice? Well, what does God demand from all of his creation? Perfection. Holiness. No sin, no error. And yet, what does God observe and know about us when it comes to that expectation? He doesn't see the perfection or the holiness. He sees the error and the sin. And so with that, he has made it clear comes consequence. A punishment of the severest kind. A punishment that calls for the shedding of blood. Now, the Lord God made that very clear throughout the pages of the Old Testament, right? That atonement, reconciliation with Him demanded blood. All those sacrifices that Aaron and his family were responsible to make on behalf of themselves and also then on behalf of the people. And as we learn from the book of Hebrews, all those Old Testament sacrifices, they in and themselves did not pay for the sin, right? But they foreshadowed the sacrifice that would. But the picture was clear. Blood had to be shed. And the sacrifices that were made in the Old Testament, well, we know what kind of animals were needed for those sacrifices, right? It wasn't just pick one that you didn't like. It had to be perfect, without blemish. It had to be a certain age and of a certain kind. Again, all picturing the ultimate sacrifice that would be made by the ultimate Lamb, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so that leads to tonight's greatest love story ongoing. The Apostle John was led to record by inspiration these words before us and reminds us what was behind the sacrifice. Not anger, but love. This is how God showed His love among us. And as we started out with the introduction to the service and as we sang in the hymns, it's about what God has done for us. This is how God showed His love for us. It's not how we show our love for God that's first and foremost. It's His love for us which puts us in a position to show our love for Him. It gives us the motivation to show our love for Him. But it starts with His love for us. And what did His love for us lead Him to do? He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. Key phrase there again too, right? He sent His Son. It's about what He has done. It's the gift that He has given. As we heard recently again from Ephesians 2, it's a gift from God. It's not something that we earn. It's not something that we bring about on our own. It's because of His love. It's what He gives to us. What He sent to us, His one and only Son. There is no one like Him. He is unique. And there doesn't need to be anyone else like Him. Because what He accomplished, He did it perfectly, sufficiently. And as Hebrews reminds us, there's no need for further sacrifices for our sins. Because when Jesus said, "It is finished," that was it. Sin has been paid for. And so when we continue to sin, what are we reminded to do? To go back to that cross where Jesus died and paid in full our sins through the shedding of His blood. And through the sacrifice of Jesus, the shedding of His blood, what do we have? What was the goal? That we might live through Him. So what kind of life do you have in Jesus? How would you describe it? Any words come to mind? Peaceful. Anyone else? What was that? Satisfied. The Apostle Paul would jump on that and say, right? I've learned the secret of being content because of the peace that has come to me through the gift of faith, a faith rooted in Jesus and the sacrifice He made for my sin. And we could all echo that with the Apostle Paul. We have peace with God. And the only way that could be accomplished was through the gift of His one and only Son, who sacrificed Himself, who shed His blood for us. And so then John is led to go on. This is love. Not might be love, could be love. This is love. God gives us an opportunity to see that love in action. He gives us the opportunity to experience that love in action. He also gives us an opportunity to share that love. Again, what is love? Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Do you think the Lord wanted to make it clear it's not what we do that's first and foremost, but it's what God has done and continues to do for us that's first and foremost, and that's what drives us then to want to show our love for Him? What a powerful reminder. And again, another powerful reminder of why the sacrifice and the benefits of that sacrifice. The goal has been achieved through that atoning sacrifice. Some people like to throw out these, you know, big words. You know, we should get rid of them. They're too hard to define. They don't mean anything anymore. Oh, contraire, right? The word atonement is powerful and enriching. It is meaningful. Instead of throwing it out, we need to educate. Because what does that word emphasize? We are at one with God. Sin separates us from God. But through Christ, we are back with God. In part now, but when we're with the Lord in heaven, we shall know Him and see Him as He is designed. Fully. All because of that atoning sacrifice. The word atoning means that God's wrath has been turned away from Him. Not by what we have done, but what His one and only Son did through His sacrifice. Amen. Talk about the greatest love story. It's not your love story, even though you are part of it. It's God's love story for you. And it came to the shedding of blood so that we could love Him and also love one another. We have been rescued from the greatest consequence, the greatest punishment, an eternal punishment. But when the world thinks of a punishment, what the greatest consequence could be, is the world thinking eternity in hell? But the world needs to think that way. And who does God use to help the world realize that what we lose here on earth pales in comparison if we lose our soul for all eternity? He uses people like you and me, who, by the grace of God, have come to see the love of God in action, to experience that love in action, now to share that love. So they get to know the greatest love story. And how, through the shedding of blood, not theirs, but God's Son, they are now and can be at one with God for all eternity. What a love story. The greatest love story. That's why there was a sacrifice. Amen. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, who made that sacrifice for us so that we could be at one now and eternally with God our Father. Amen. We pray. Holy and righteous God, we come before You in deep humility. We confess that we are sinners, both by the nature we inherit and by the sinful thoughts and desires, words and actions that nature produces. Because of our sins, we deserve only Your wrath and punishment. Yet You reveal Yourself not only as a God of holiness and justice, but as a God of mercy and love. Despairing of our own merits and worthiness, and in response to Your gracious invitation, we come pleading for Your forgiveness.
Lord, have mercy on us for Your holy name's sake.
You
have revealed your love and mercy for us sinners in Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior. You sent him into our world to be the atoning sacrifice for the sins of all people. Help us grasp by faith the great truth that the pain and suffering, the mockery and ridicule, and the death and punishment he endured should have been ours. Help us appreciate more and more the love that moved him to suffer and die for us.
Lord, have mercy on us, for Jesus' sake.
In silent meditation, let us reflect on our sins, praise our Savior for the forgiveness he has won for us, and ask for God's continued grace to remove any doubt that we are forgiven. God of grace and mercy, may your Spirit continue to be with us as we follow the way of the cross. As we contemplate the story of our Savior's passion, build us up in our faith. Renew in us the zeal to serve you by reflecting your love in our lives. Give us the desire and the ability to boldly proclaim the grace in which we stand, so that all for whom you lived and died may join us in fellowship now and in your presence forever.
We offer our humble thanks and praise, our prayers and petitions, and ourselves in body and spirit to you, Lord God. Hear us according to your promise, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
And we also pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you.
But he was pierced for our transgressions.
He was crushed for our iniquities.
The punishment that brought us peace was upon him.
And by his wounds we are healed.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.
Be able to enjoy your night in the peace that God has won for you through his Son, our Lord and Savior. Have a good night.